Okay, today we will finish the book of Nahum. We come to Nahum chapter 3, and we will also witness in this chapter the destruction of one of Israel's worst enemies, and that is the Assyrians. And that is what this book is all about, the destruction of Assyria by God, punishment for their horrible sins. Very cruel people. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nahum, chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victim. God calls Nineveh the city of blood, which refers to the bloody massacres of her defeated enemies. Assyria did unspeakable things to the people that they conquered. They often beheaded, impaled, burned, and even skinned alive the people that they conquered. Verse 2. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords, and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses. And God describes here in these two verses the cruelty of the Assyrians. They actually, believe it or not, built a pyramid of chopped off heads in front of one of the cities that they defeated. They would often stack the dead bodies of their enemies outside the cities that they would conquer. Stack them like firewood. Verse 4. All because of the wanton lust of a harlot, alluring the mistress of sorceries, who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. God accuses Assyria of behaving like a harlot. They were a spiritual harlot. There's no question about it. They lured people with their sin, just like a harlot does. And through that, they enslaved people. Spiritually speaking, they enslaved people. Verse 5, I'm against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts above your face. I will show the nations your nakedness, and the kingdoms your shame. In other words, God will disgrace Assyria. They should have been disgraced over their sin. They were not. So God will disgrace them when he punishes them for their sin. Verse 6, I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. Assyria will be disgraced, and they will also be humiliated. They did that to the people they defeated. Now, as punishment, God will do the same to them. And you know the Bible says that we reap what we sow. Verse 7. All who see you will flee. All who see you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you? Nineveh will not get any sympathy from anyone when they are destroyed. No one cares because they had been so evil. Verse 8, are you better than Thebes, situated on the Nile with water around her? The river was her defense, the waters her wall. Thebes was an important city in Egypt. It was destroyed by Assyria in 663 BC. If Thebes could be destroyed, and it was a very defendable city, but if it could be destroyed, God says, don't think that you can't be destroyed, Nineveh. Don't think that judgment and death only happens to other people. It doesn't happen to you. Verse 9. Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and Libya were among her allies. And so Thebes' allies couldn't prevent her destruction. Verse 10. Yet she was taken captive and went into exile. Her infants were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. Lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chains. When Assyria defeated nations, they would capture the king, of course, if they could, and they would put a dog chain on the king, and then they would put him in a kennel by the gate of Nineveh. Apparently, that is what happened when they defeated Thebes. I told you these people were wonderful. Verse 11, you too will become drunk. You will go into hiding and seek refuge from the enemy. They will be drunk from drinking dry the cup of God's wrath. That's what this is talking about. Assyria will drink the cup of God's wrath in its full strength, and they will be drunk with punishment. Verse 12, all your fortresses are like fig trees with their first ripe fruit when they are shaken. The figs fall into the mouth of the eater. And so if you shake a branch that has ripe fruit on it, the fruit falls down to the ground very easily. The fortresses of Assyria will fall with no problem at all. That is what God is saying. They will fall because God is against them. God is against them because of their horrible sin, which they never repented of. 13. Look at your troops. They are all women. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has consumed their bars. Assyria's military has become weak. God says they are weak. They are without courage. They are helpless to stop Babylon, which has God's backing. Verse 14. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your defenses. Work the clay. Tread the mortar. Repair the brickwork. God is saying, go ahead, Nineveh, go ahead, prepare your defenses, but it won't do you any good. Verse 15, there the fire will devour you, the sword will cut you down, and like grasshoppers consume you, multiply like grasshoppers, multiply like locusts. And it happened, just as God, through Nahum, said it would. Assyria's king died. He was burned alive in his own palace. God's word is very precise. 16. You have increased the number of your merchants till they are more than the stars of the sky, but like locusts they strip the land and then fly away. And so Assyria had become wealthy during her heyday. They had become wealthy by business deals with other nations. A lot of wealth in that city, especially in the city of Nineveh. But the conquering Babylonians took all their wealth away, and no one could stop it from happening. 17. Your guards are like locusts. Your officials like swarms of locusts. They settle in the walls on a cold day, but when the sun appears, they fly away, and no one knows where. Do you ever see a fly do you ever see how a fly acts when winter begins to set in? If there are a few stray flies around your house, they get very lethargic. They don't move very well. It's hard to swat a fly in the middle of the summer. They're very easy to swat when it starts getting cold. And it was the official's job to guard the interest of Nineveh. But instead of doing that, they would function like cold locusts. Cold locusts. They are like cold flies. They're too cold to move and very easy target for someone to swat. They are no help to Assyria either. 18. O king of Assyria, your shepherds slumber. Your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. God says your leaders are dead, and your people are scattered. And like many other nations defeated by war, Assyria's people are refugees, fleeing from disaster, trying to save their lives. Verse 19, nothing can heal your wound. Your injury is fatal. Everyone who hears the news about you claps his hands at your fall, for who has not felt your endless cruelty? The world rejoiced when Assyria fell. Nineveh, the capital city, was destroyed, and as God said here, it was never rebuilt. In fact, within a couple of hundred years, it was covered with wind-blown sand. And that was the end of that evil empire. Cruelty, indescribable cruelty, not just war, but hideous forms of torture. No respect for human life at all. And this was the end. And currently in the world, as I make this tape, as I record this message, terrorism is pretty strong. And the terrorists really haven't changed much. Many of the people over there, the terrorists, I should say, from over in that area, they're no different than Assyria. Very cruel, very inhumane, going after the innocents instead of after their enemy's soldiers. They will not win in the end. They will lose. There is a just God in heaven who reigns over this world. And nations like Assyria and nations that back the terrorists and the terrorist organizations themselves, they may have some success for a while. And a lot of good people may be killed. But in the end, they will be defeated, because a righteous God in heaven will not allow something like that to succeed forever. We'll pick it up next time in the book of Habakkuk. Until then, so long, everyone.